34. Previously, you have said that the relationship between guru and disciple is not just limited to one birth. It continues birth after birth. If that is so, then why does the disciple have to take a new initiation in each birth? It is a sure fact that the relationship between guru and disciple is one that continues birth after birth. The purpose of taking initiation again is only to remind the disciple of the holy name and the holy mantra of the Lord. It is according to the multifarious law of nature that when a living entity accepts a new body, the memories of its past life are wiped out. Consequently, it takes a sweet-natured sadhaka bhakta, or a mahapurush, who is well-versed in the science of Godhead, to remind him of the holy names and mantras of his beloved Lord and the sweet eternal relationship he has with the Lord. Therefore, the scriptures prescribe the giving and taking of initiation. The human mind is naturally restless, and a disconnected mind is always forgetful, while a connected mind has an ever-wakeful remembrance. We have forgotten so many things from our childhood of this birth. Consequently, it is not inconceivable or impossible that in our present life, we have forgotten the initiation we have taken in our previous life. The purpose of initiation is to reawaken the sweet memory of our beloved Lord, to remind us of his address. Therefore, you must seek after him. Question. From your words, I understand that the purpose of taking initiation is to gain transcendental ecstasy by reawakening our sweet remembrance of our beloved Lord and advancing on the spiritual path by singing his sweet, heart-soothing names and repeating his divine mantras, thus realizing the Lord in the heart. But we often see that many people take initiation, but they do not progress on the spiritual path as much as they had wished. What kind of initiation have they taken, and why do they end up like this? There is a way of taking initiation that resembles the lantern in a rich man's chandelier. It always dangles around, but it will never burn. Initiation without the practice of sadhana bhajan will never work. Apparently, a rich man will have a chandelier. In the temple, there's three big lights made out of crystal that hang down. Those are called chandeliers. And there's some light bulbs there, and it shines through the crystal. So he's saying that a rich man has a lantern in his chandelier, but he never lights that lantern just for look or for show, because a lantern will make a lot of smoke. So there may be a lantern inside the chandelier, but they never light it, just for show. I think it's like that. So if someone gets initiated, but they don't practice sadhana bhajan, then the initiation won't work. There's another kind of initiation called poshaki diksha. Do you want to know what that is like? There are many kinds of fancy furniture in the living rooms of the rich. One day a friend came and said, "You have everything except a Chinese vase. Your living room is not complete without a Chinese vase." The rich man then said, "You're right, pal." And he went out and got a vase to decorate his house with. In the same way, people take initiation just in the name, as a religious condiment amidst everything. It's like keeping guru as a fashion. How can such decorative initiation grant the desired result? Tell me. Practically, you don't practice bhajan in the way the guru ordered you, and you don't follow its discipline. The entire body of transcendental knowledge will not be obtained without conversing with saints on these topics. The whole consciousness is possessed with samskaras, bad habits of false pride, arrogance, duplicity, and deceit. And thus the heart is not purified. Due to this lack of purification of the heart, the seed of transcendental knowledge gotten from the guru cannot sprout. Therefore, this kind of initiation cannot yield any fruits. So we have to practice sadhana after we receive initiation. You said that due to a lack of purification of the consciousness, the seed of transcendental knowledge gotten from the Guru cannot sprout in the heart. Here we want to ask how the heart can be purified. The human mind is always restless and scattered by many matters. How much peace and focus must be brought to the mind that is so fidgety? In the scriptures, many means and activities have been described to purify and pacify the heart. A person can take shelter of the means that suit him. In my opinion, there's no better and easier way to purify and pacify the heart than always to associate with pleasantly disposed saints and discuss holy topics with them. Through associating with saints and discussing holy topics with them, the mind is pacified so quickly that results are tangible immediately. Remember that the greatest means to purify the heart is Sri Gurudev. He is the endless storehouse of transcendental knowledge. When we are always obedient to him and hear all his instructions on religious matters, we can give up all duplicity and doubts and purify and pacify our hearts. Material world is like a turbulent ocean which is always agitated. How long can you fight these turbulently billowing waves with a small boat and maintain your own equilibrium? Perhaps you will drown in the bottomless water when a powerful wave knocks your boat over and makes it capsize. Or you may lose your life when the thrusts of the waves shatter you to pieces. Tightly bind your little boat on the life buoy of Sri Guru's feet, and you will not have to fear going down, drowning, or capsizing. Just as a bird protects its offspring from any sudden danger by spreading its wings, similarly, whenever the mind becomes fidgety or the heart becomes dissatisfied, merciful Sri Gurudev will immediately remove the restlessness of the mind with this aggregate of transcendental knowledge, with this accumulation or sum total of transcendental knowledge. Merciful Sri Gurudev will spread out his auspicious hands to protect the life of an obedient disciple in all circumstances, especially on the path of sadhana. Therefore, it is no exaggeration to say that an obedient disciple cannot fall from the path of sadhana, because he is always protected from all directions by the powerful Guru Shakti. The consciousness of such a fortunate disciple will always remain pure and holy, and his heart will never feel weary. For the disciple's elevation, Sri Gurudev may chastise his disciple for a long time with scolding words. But some disciples are so ungrateful that they cannot tolerate these rebukes and become angry and hostile towards Gurudev. Is it proper for a disciple to be so ungrateful? And can such an ungrateful attitude be auspicious for the disciple? Gratitude is one of the godly qualities. How can an ungrateful person ever worship the Lord? It is only natural to be grateful to your Guru. Who will not be grateful to Sri Gurudev, the ocean of compassion, who purifies our intelligence, who goes through the painstaking labor to elevate us to the human platform, and who infuses such honey-sweet feelings within our hearts? How fortunate we are that we can take the scolding words of Sri Gurudev on our heads. If you cannot even tolerate the little chastisement that Gurudev, who only desires your benefit, pours on you, and how will you ever become as tolerant as trees? Turivasahishnana, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered. How can you tolerate the tribulations of the material world? They will never let go of you. A sadhaka who is ungrateful and disloyal towards his guru will never make progress on the path of sadhana. He's making a nice analogy. He's saying that in the guru may chastise or rebuke you, seemingly for a long time, if in fact that's required for your purification, elevation, and benefit, spiritual benefit. But if you're ungrateful, you might say, why is he picking on me? Why is he rebuking me? He's causing me so much tribulation. But the tribulation of the spiritual master causes the disciple is very little and very temporary. He's saying that if you don't want to accept this tribulation, how will you tolerate, if you can't tolerate the tribulations of Gurudev, who is imposing what we call tribulations for our ultimate good and benefit and purification, then how will we ever be able to tolerate the tribulations of the material world? The material world is full of tribulations, and they never stop. As he said, they never let go of you. There's no cessation of those difficulties. We find also disciples who become disinterested after Gurudev has been to their homes once or twice. We consider such disciples to be very pitiful. Those who think like that should not have accepted Guru. Nothing will ever come of such ungrateful Guru Drohis. You should consider yourself most fortunate when you see Sri Gurudev coming from a distance. His mere audience grants the benefit of bathing, or the piety, or the punya, or purification, of bathing during millions of solar and lunar eclipses. Indeed, out of ecstasy from seeing your Guru, you should spontaneously give charity to the poor and wretched. There are also disciples who, when they see their worshipful Sri Gurudev coming to their homes twice a year, they say, "Now, what are you doing? You have just been here the other day to collect our annual donation. Now what is the need of you coming again?" Perhaps such a person will hide inside the house when he sees the Guru coming from afar, and he will tell his son, "If Gurudev asks for me, tell him I'm not home." How can such a disciple make any spiritual advancement by accepting a Guru in such a way? Consequently, it can be said that such ungrateful disciples gets an unripe banana. He will derive nothing from his Guru. Gurudev may come once, or he may come five times to visit your house. If whenever he comes, you praise the day for it, considering yourself most fortunate, then you can know that you have developed some devotion for your Guru. Otherwise, if you become disinterested when he comes once or twice, but remain ignorant, calling him Gurudev, Gurudev in his presence, then you should know this kind of devotion is professional Guru Bhakti. In other words, the Guru is, when he's not there, you care less, but then he comes, you say, "Oh, Jai Gurudev, Gurudev, Gurudev." But when he's not around, you just remain ignorant and don't follow him. It is non-devotion on the pretext of devotion. Such professional Guru Bhakti has no value for those who want to advance in religious path. If you consider yourself to be fortunate to offer your obeisances unto your Guru, then do it. Otherwise, don't do it. Fortunate I am to have such a spiritual master, and I really want to show my respect and my appreciation. And I don't know how else to do it, but at least I can bow down and show my respect and honor for him. And so that, then you should. You feel fortunate. If you don't feel like that, then don't do it. Question 41. How is the sadhana bhajan of all those disciples who are not devoted and surrendered to the lotus feet of Guru and who thus reject Gurudev, what is their destination? Anyone who can carry the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev as a tilak of good fortune on his forehead can understand something of the Lord's pastimes. But an ungrateful disciple who has no devotion cannot firmly or deeply enter into the Lord's pastimes. Sincere and exclusive Guru Bhakti is the gate through which one must enter to relish the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. Through exclusive Guru Bhakti, the disciple can enter into the pastimes of the Lord. The sweetness of Krishna's pastimes will only reveal itself to the sadhaka who is exclusively devoted to Guru. All the sweet experiences and flavors of the spiritual world can be obtained by earnest devotion to the Guru. You can easily understand the destination of one who has no devotion for the Guru. The Lord said, "I cannot appear before you again and again, but I will show myself once to you in the form of the Guru. If you reject him, I cannot appear before you again in this lifetime." I tell you, if some foolish disciple has no devotion for his guru and gives up the holy name and holy mantras of the Lord given to him by guru, he has committed guru tyag, abandonment of guru. And a person who has given up guru has given up hari. If by misfortune you give up your mantra, the guru has given you this mantra or hari himself, you will have to wait another lifetime. When you miss the train, you have to catch another train the next day. Hence I say that any unintelligent and ungrateful disciple who rejects his worshipful guru, then all his sadhana bhajan will be wasted, and his rare human birth that can bestow spiritual perfection will be vain. I'll tell you a story in this connection. In the scriptures there is an order that if Sri Gurudev lives with you in the same hamlet, then you should offer your obeisances to his feet 3 times a day. If he lives with you in the same village, you should come and see his lotus feet 1 a day and offer prostrated obeisances to them. And if he lives far away, you should come and see him whenever possible. When you hear that he has come to a village which is very close to your own village, then give up all their activities and come to him to offer your obeisances unto his lotus feet. If you live in the same hamlet, it means the same house, ashram, gurukul, then you should offer obeisances 3 times a day. Trisandhyam. Dayam stivam stasya yasya trisandhyam. Vande guru sri charanaravindam. So Vishwanath is telling that the Gurudev who has freed me from the cycle of birth and death. Dayam stivam stasya yasya trisandhyam. We should remember him. Dhyanam. We should meditate upon him and offer obeisances 3 times a day. If the disciple sees Gurudev somewhere in his proximity, close to his own home, or he hears that he has come to someone else's home, and he does not go to him to offer obeisances, but instead goes elsewhere on the pretext of having some duty, then he is certainly very ungrateful. Such an ungrateful disciple can never make any advancement on the spiritual path. He is really to be pitied. Is it 42? Is it proper to perform any religious activity in violation of Gurudev's order? No, you should never perform any religious activity in violation of Gurudev's order. It will kill you. The Guru appeared as Lakshman and made a circle and said, Sita Devi, don't go outside of this circle. Sita thought, if my guest leaves me and I don't get a chance to serve him, then I will have committed an impiety. And as soon as she went out of the circle to serve the sannyasi, Ravana, who was in disguise, to take religious duty of serving her guest, Ravana kidnapped her and took her across the ocean. Hence I say, so many people can tell you so many things about religious duties. Let them say whatever they want. You can just listen. Never get out of the circle consisting of the Guru's orders to have any kind of religious discussions other than the ones authorized by your Guru. It will be your death. You will have to suffer like Sita Devi. Sounds as if he's saying that the instructions of the spiritual master and the teachings of the spiritual master for one disciple are like a chakra, a protective circle. Someone should stay within that circle and not imagine or not accept or imagine other instructions, even though they may be religious practices or religious instructions. We should not leave the circle of our own Gurudev's, you know, Chakravarti, like we say, Vishwanath Chakravarti. It means the circle of his protection, of his orders and his teachings, to embrace some other teachings. It will be not successful. Bringing one to the same goal of the eternal service of Radha and Krishna in our spiritual form. We start somewhere. You start in school and you learn some things, then you go on to high school or college or whatever. It's not that you look back and say, oh, my teachers in high school, they were no good. They only knew that subject, but they didn't know college subjects. Oh, you're very thankful and grateful. And you, everything is done patiently with great faith in Guru. And we receive what we deserve. Anyone has, any person, any devotee has faith in the flow of the Lord's mercy because he can see his own experience that the Lord's mercy has continually been given to him in installments from one time after another time after another time. He's met certain devotees, he received certain knowledge. He met other devotees, other knowledge. It comes one by one by one. Sometimes they take the role of Diksha Gurus, sometimes Shiksha Gurus. It's all the same flow of Krishna's mercy. So one has confidence in Krishna, because Krishna is infallible and perfect. And one has confidence in the arrangement that Krishna makes for his elevation and purification. Oh, Krishna, you've made this arrangement. No. Wonderful. Let me take full advantage of this arrangement you've provided for me to surrender, to advance, to serve, to become attached to you. And now the next installment. Oh, now this flow of mercy you're giving to me. That's one by one. Because Krishna is watching each devotee and each disciple. We're ultimately in Krishna's hands. Eternally, we're in the hands of Krishna. He's the eternal spiritual master. But temporarily, we're in the hands of one spiritual master or another spiritual master. It's all the same hands. It's Krishna's four hands, or Krishna's six hands, or Krishna's eight hands, or Krishna's ten hands. But it seems what we see nowadays is kind of an impatience to get the highest thing without having qualification. But ultimately, everything is going on by the will of the Lord. But it really shouldn't come in the idea of dissatisfaction with Guru. Disciples should not be dissatisfied with Guru. Because if there's an open relationship between disciple and Guru, the Guru will actually be in tune with the evolution of the consciousness of the disciple. And if he sees that the disciple's evolving to such a level that's beyond the capability of the Guru to unfold, then he will direct him to someone else to help him in a very loving and wonderful way. Just like if a father, he's maintained a family, but he becomes in an accident or something and he's in the hospital and he can't maintain the family. So they may ask his brother, his uncle, the father may ask his brother, who's financially capable and healthy, to please adopt my family or look after my family and care for them. This is the same. This is the actual family of Krishna. And all the spiritual masters are simply helping to bring the children back to God. There's no enemies here. The Guru is not my enemy. He's my friend. And I have many friends in this realm. It all should be based on honesty. It should be based on honesty and purity and straightforward dealings between Guru and disciple. Then everything comes out proper. Because honesty is the energy of Krishna. That is satyam. Satyam pram dhimati. That is the basis of realities. Honesty and truth. So the spiritual master says, this is what I am, this is what I have to give. If you can take some advantage from it, great, take it. And you take that, and then more installment is required, then Krishna will send that. He sent me this flow of mercy, and he'll send me the next flow of mercy. Patience is required. It's not only through Diksha Guru that all doors are open, but it's Krishna opens all the doors to his house. And our goal of life is to go to Krishna's house, enter his house. And gurus are showing the way to the house. But there's many gurus on the path. So Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus, life after life, are all opening the doors to Krishna's house and giving the mercy by which we can enter Krishna's house. Not only the Diksha Guru, but Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus are all embodiments of the mercy of Krishna. And we will receive one by one by one as we require. If you enroll in school, you go grade by grade by grade, and you receive teacher after teacher after teacher to bring you to the point of graduation, right? Many teachers, many subjects, but ultimately you graduate. Then you go to high school, and many teachers, many subjects, and you graduate. You go to college, many... Well, the same way, to graduate from this material world and go back to Krishna, there are many subjects and many teachers, one by one by one. And maybe some lifetimes are also required. But that's the destiny to come to that point. When one knows what he wants, then one finds someone who has that, can give what he wants. If you want some product, you want to buy some Bisleri water, then you find someone who's selling water, Bisleri water, and you purchase it. If you have the purchasing power, then you can buy it. They may be selling it, you may want it, but don't have the money. It's 10 rupees a bottle and you only have one. So you have to go back and try to collect 10 rupees. We want the best, we want perfection in spiritual life, so we should try to find a perfect spiritual master who's fully self-realized and all full knowledge and realized his sarup and has all mantras or whatever. Then you take initiation from there and you attain perfection. You can attain perfection if you follow. If you don't follow, and you don't have the strength to follow, and the person just gives you pranali, and that's it, then it may have a difficult time. But if you get pranali, then you get reinforcement by Shiksha Guru, who can instruct you on the particulars of realizing that pranali, then you can attain success. So therefore, it's not only Diksha Guru who gives the mantras of Radha Mantra or your Gopi Bhav mantras or pranali that will give you success. Can be. But association is required, constant association, constant instruction in these matters to actually attain perfection. So Shiksha Guru is playing a very crucial role to help one perfect his life. Crucial means important. Only one person at a time can give initiation to mankind, whereas many different people can be Shiksha Guru. Whoever you accept as a giver of spiritual instructions, Shiksha Guru, by whose mercy your intelligence gets purified, who is entirely engaged in bringing you to the human platform, is just another manifestation of your mantra-giving Diksha Guru. He is giving you good instructions in another form. So he means a Diksha, you receive Diksha, initiation, Harinam and Gayatri, then you may meet some Shiksha Gurus here and there, and you see them as your Diksha Guru giving you instruction in another form. Your Diksha Guru has come in another form to give you some instructions. And he's known as Shiksha Guru. There's no difference. So we should have... If you have unflinching awareness of this, then your Guru Bhakti and your Guru Loyalty will remain.